This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We were going to bring in a series of consultants to come up with the name for the show. We just did it ourselves. Thus, it's not that clever. Hello, Todd.
The suit and Steve show kind of rolls, or it kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, especially the part where the suit's named first. I wonder who suggested that. All right. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. I don't care if you're a business, an athlete. These guys will get you on track to what you need. Go to NILGameChangers.org. Jody McDonald, next half hour. Neil Coulong today. We're going to open up with Matt Cotrillo. And after last night's impressive Yankee game against the White Sox, I'm sure he has a lot to say. I mean, the White Sox are only 2-24 in their last 26, including beating the Yankees 1-2.
It was also a season high in runs, I believe, for the White Sox.
Yes. I mean, just rolling and rolling and rolling. All right?
When I said he wouldn't have anything to be angry about, I did not take into the account that the Yankees could lose to the White Sox last night.
Nobody saw that coming. Even the White Sox were looking around like going, hey, this is pretty cool. So this is what it feels like. All right. So we'll take a break. We'll hear from the master of disaster in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is 43 new Hyundais away from their all-time sales record through August. With 134 new Hyundais to choose from, plus deep discounts and low interest rates, SMC is going to break this record. Sunbury Motors has 48 2024 Tucson's available, starting at $32,568, or get 1.99% financing for 60 months. Looking for the most versatile compact truck on the planet? Take up to $3,000 off the 2024 Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz starts at $31,247. And there's 16 in stock. Here you go, car buyers. SMC has 11 2024 Elantras with 1.99% financing for 60 months. And Elantras start at just $22,960. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai. We're breaking the record in August with 43 new Hyundais sold. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. Well, this segment's going to be a disaster.
We're a minute early, yet he usually calls at 1:15.
All right. Well, you know, I just want to make sure we gave him all the room possible to blow off steam.
Yeah. That's what I try to do when he's at 2:35. He needs as much time to expand.
Oh.
Expound, I believe, was the correct word.
Yes. It's always a frightening segment. You just don't know. I mean, first of all, it's going to be clean. But, like, I mean, the question is how much of it makes sense. I feel like, you know, we're both very patient with him. Yeah. And by the way, see, Tennessee became the first university to get the on-field logo deal done. It's with Pilot, which is the truck stop. You see it all over I-80, all over the place. I think they're, all over I-80. I think there's one in Cunningham. There's one, I know, in Lamar. I mean, they're all over the place. And I guess it's going to be a 20-year deal. And so they're the first ones. And they said they're going to take the money, and they're going to use it for the renovations of Neyland Stadium. So that's the first one, and Tennessee's got it.
Mr. Cotrillo is with us, sir.
Congratulations on the new look studio that nobody ever goes to except you guys because you do everything on Zoom.
Yes, thank you. That is actually what's cool about that is it's an actual virtual set. So what you really see if you walk into our office is a big green screen with the desk in front. But that's just the magic of TV right there. So we are really excited about it as we kick off year five of the Sports Beat and high school sports coming up starting this week with the first episode of the show, and then we get into our first game, high school football. Milton and Shikellamy, by the way, at the new sports complex. Very excited about that. It'll be myself and Charlie Fisher on the call, our dear friend. Looking forward to always sharing the mic with dear Mr. Charlie Fisher. So we're excited. We're at that time again, Steve Jones.
You tell Charlie I said hi. He's one of the great guys out there. I can't say enough good things about Charlie.
Absolutely. He's good at any sport. I mean, football's his main thing, but he's actually really good at baseball, played baseball. I didn't realize how much that game meant to him when I started doing more baseball games with him this past spring. I mean, the guy is just tremendous, yes. So, yeah, I will definitely say hello, and we actually do reference you often.
Well, I bet that turns out well. I was very impressed last night that the White Sox are now 2-24 in their last 26 games and basically took your team and shredded them. I mean, what's your payroll? $1.7 billion?
Something like that. Yeah, that was an absolute embarrassment last night. There is no question about it. And once again, even though somehow, some way, this team is still battling with the Orioles for first place in the AL East, they have the best record in baseball, I still don't think they're a World Series contender. And last night should just prove it to you right then and there. I'm not surprised that they lost the game to the White Sox. I just didn't think they were going to lose that badly, but just when you think this team can make you want to bang your head against the wall, it can with that game last night. That was an absolute embarrassment.
And not only that, there are moments where Gleyber Torres hustles.
It was very rare. It was a lot of strange things last night. And, of course, when he does hustle and he actually, you know, makes a couple of plays, the Yankees don't win. They're just not used to them actually knowing how to play baseball, I guess. I don't know.
So what else upsets you right now? The segment's
young. I'll tell you what, Steve Jones. I am angry like everybody else is about the treatment of Jordan Chiles now having to give up her bronze medal after earning that in the gymnastics during the Olympics last week. And just here's what the bottom line is, the problem that's been when it comes to international sport. I don't care if it's the IOC, the International Olympic Committee. I don't care if it's FIFA, FIBA. I don't care who it is. They are the most corrupt organizations in the world. They shouldn't be running just a plain old organization, let alone something as big as this. And I'm always amazed that any event that those three organizations put on goes off without some sort of hitch. And it's just amazing. You have this happening this time in the Olympics in Paris. I guess they handled the COVID in Tokyo as good as you can, but I don't think that was smooth either. And then to the way things were for the Men's World Cup in Qatar a couple of years ago, I mean, these organizations are the exact blueprint of what not to do to run an organization like this. Say what you want about the commissioners of our four major sports. They are hands down better than any of these jabronis running these international sporting committees. I mean, you might as well have Dan Snyder running this whole thing. Even I think he maybe could even do a better job at this point. I mean, it's just sad that this nonsense continues to happen year in and year out when you've had situations like this come up before and you've awarded medals to both contenders on each side of the situation. There were two golds that were given out years ago when something like this came up. And not only that, too, here's the thing, with the way this particular case went. The bronze medal looked like it was going to the Romanian gymnast. Then, after a little bit of a delay, all of a sudden it's given to Jordan Chiles. And they go through the whole thing. Then days later, we made a mistake. We need to give it back to the Romanian gymnast. I mean, that's like having video review in an NFL game and going back like five plays later and ruling it in favor of the other team. That's exactly what this is. And then when you go through, when you have all these appeals processes that you have to follow, USA Gymnastics was then notified by the Court of Arbitration for Sport, who sees these cases all the time, that the rules don't allow for an arbitral award to be reconsidered even when there's conclusive new evidence. Then what's the point? The Court of Arbitration is there for that reason, especially when decisions were made in a delayed response the first two times this happened. Now Team USA actually has conclusive, real evidence when it didn't seem like it was like kind of running by the seat of their pants the first two times this happened. They actually have new, real, conclusive evidence, and now they can't see it. Now, it looks like this might continue in higher courts, but, I mean, it is just watching somebody fall down the stairs that nobody even knows their own process. And then I saw another report from CNN last night that this Court of Arbitration didn't even talk to the right people on Team USA. I mean, this is just an embarrassment of biblical proportions. Just go back to what you did. Give the bronze medal to both if you don't know what you're doing like you've done in the past before, and leave it alone. I mean, you are just ruining with controversy what was a tremendous Olympics, especially for Team USA. Let's just say in terms of the games. We can say what you want about things that happen around the Olympics, but in terms of the actual sport, it was an amazing Olympics. And it's sad because now something as dumb as this is ruining it.
I completely agree with everything you said there.
Well, thank you.
It is. This has always been the problem with these international groups, and the corruption within them, and their over the years their ability to craft results based on what part of the world you're from is just sickening. And I'll never forget, I think it was Oksana Baiul beating Nancy Kerrigan. You know, that's because the five Eastern Bloc judges, and at the time it was Eastern Bloc, Western Bloc, the five Eastern Bloc judges all voted overwhelmingly that Oksana Baiul was better, and you needed to get five for Nancy Kerrigan to win, so she ended up with a silver medal. She had the odds stacked against her. And that's still the case today with these people. And if you want to be known as a reputable group, stop acting like a clown show. You know, don't change the rules in the middle. You have 4 minutes for any other routine to ask for a challenge. But the last routine, you get a minute. Really? No, that's absurd. And by the way, the U.S. took 47 seconds to file it. And they've got video evidence to show. Okay. I mean, these are just facts. And that's something that is, I think, very important. Very important.
And the sad part of this is, this is not going to change, and I don't think it's going to change for a long time. And unfortunately, it just is what it is there. But all we can do is just continue to rip them and call them out every time that they try to pull stunts like this off all the time. And speaking of other people that are an embarrassment to their organization, let's go to one Deion Sanders. We go from that to this, and the way he handled and treated the media during what's supposed to be a media day all about the media promoting your program, which you are literally building from scratch. And that's the way you go out and treat everybody, especially after it was a bumpy first year that you had. Sure, you started 3-0, but you know what? At this point, who cares? You looked awful, and you got your butt rear-handed to you the rest of the season. Okay, so that 3-0 thing to me is out the window now. The way he started last year.
But if you remember, if you remember when they were 3-0 last year, what did I say was going to be the story by mid-October?
Oh yeah, they weren't going to be, absolutely
right. Well, now, so I'm not saying we didn't see it coming. I saw it coming.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, we all did, no question. Which is why that is totally irrelevant now as to if you can even determine if he could even coach on this level, let alone recruit. But just think about this. These media days are another avenue for you to put your program out there in a positive spotlight. And the fact that it's gone off to such a bumpy start, and then he does that to the media, it just shows what a selfish human being that Deion Sanders is. And it's really, truly about him and not about the kids, whether he's trying to make them better or trying to get rid of them, whatever the case may be. And could you argue maybe it's about his son too? Sure. But honestly, at times, I don't even know it's about his son either. I think it's truly about him because he's Coach Prime, and everybody wants to come play with him just because he's Coach Prime, and he's cool, and he's this and that. No, I wouldn't want my kid playing for you. I never did to begin with, but the way you just treated everybody now and made a mockery of that press conference when you're trying to start the season, when normally it's positive and, expectations are high and things like that, I'm sorry. I'm out. So that was an embarrassment to college football, an embarrassment to Colorado, and if Colorado had any sort of backbone, they'd be going after him, suspending him for a game, and fining him heavily for what they did and say, listen, Yo Holmes, listen, this is not how you build a program. That's just not how you do it. I don't care what the circumstances are. But what he did yesterday was an absolute atrocity, and it was an embarrassment to college football.
Yeah. It's up to first of all, Colorado publicity wise, he's been a publicity benefit to them. We know that, but the product on the field, I think his sons are good players. I think they're both NFL players. Travis Hunter's a first round pick, but it's a massive rebuild. And he needs to go in with the idea that it's a massive rebuild, but he doesn't want to take it as that. They're going to a new conference. To be honest with you, it's going to be easier for him in the Big 12 than it was in the Pac-12. And you can't go in and act as if you're the show all the time. The fans are part of the show, the players are part of the show, and it's not just about you. And you can't be thin-skinned about things either.
Exactly right. And you raise a good point, too, with him starting in the Big 12. Yeah, I think it is a little bit easier for him to recruit because he's not competing with a lot of big-name schools like he was in the Pac-12. So you're still a little ways away, but, yeah, the path to get a little easier. But you're just making it harder on yourself by just pulling off these ridiculous stunts and just unnecessary banter with the media when you're starting from scratch. I mean, just the whole thing, like I said, was just a complete embarrassment. Absolutely.
Well, well done today. Great to hear you.
Well, thank you. You too as well.
Yep, and congratulations on the new studio.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
It looked like it's your basement. Oh, I'm sorry. No.
I'm the first guest, right?
That's right.
Wow. Excellent choice.
He's always a good choice.
By the way, J.J. McCarthy of the Vikings, torn meniscus, needs surgery.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Everybody, welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet for all your beverage needs. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Heard from Matt Contrillo. I heard him talk a little bit about the gymnastics. Kind of tend to agree with him. I think we talked about that a little bit. Some other notes from around the area till we till Steve gets back here. Braden Fosnott of Danville High, 2017 Danville High graduate, pitched at West Chester as well. He was moved up from Jersey Shore to Reading after, I believe, on Sunday. Reading opens up a series all week at home with New Hampshire, so hopefully Braden gets a chance to pitch for the Fightin' Phils this week. Pitched real well, had 18 starts at for the Threshers. I think the kind of the issue for Braden is he's a little older, so he's about 25 going to Double A. I think the Phillies, they're getting to the point now where they're going to try and see what they have with him.
No, and I don't blame him. I mean, look, I'd rather see that than I'll give you an example. I gave you the example yesterday about Saturday, and and Jody Mack knows what I'm going to talk about here. The Red Sox won with a bullpen day. Wonderful. That's adorable. The next day, James Paxton got hurt on the third batter of the game. Well, they had nobody left in the bullpen. Okay, great. Love the plan. All right, this half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com, Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And always great to bring in the incredible, incomparable Jody Mack. Jody McDonald, welcome. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you these days?
I'm doing well, getting myself immersed in some Penn State football stuff so I can call the first game.
Nice.
So, yeah, it is nice. Let's start with the Eagles. One preseason game, that's fine. To me, it's all about roster spots, 40 to 53. That's what I think preseason games are. Maybe I'm wrong. Any general thoughts on the opener?
Yeah, it was a good peak. That's what it is. And when I say peak, that's P-E-E-K, not E-A-K, because if it was a peak, then it would have been phenomenal. with the defense playing a handful of snaps for the starters and the offense playing one offensive starter, how much did we really learn? We learned some debate as to who's going to make the team, who's going to be the 40 to 53rd guy. But I'd say no one should be perturbed by the Eagles' first effort. Jake Elliott should be happy he got a second chance to make good and take a game-winning field goal. But nobody should be all that excited either, because their subs are slightly better than the Ravens' subs. What does that really tell us about the upcoming 2024 season?
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well. I'll say they got an interesting guy in the draft that is not a superstar, but I always thought he was a rock-solid college running back in Will Shipley. Now, is he going to start? No. But what was just your general impression of seeing him for the first time?
Got the touchdown on a nice play, nice pass, as a matter of fact. I'm not the biggest Kenny Pickett fan, and he didn't wow me the other day, but that was a nice play. You got to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
I am on record as predicting, before the game the other night during the offseason, after A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, that Will Shipley will be the Eagles' fourth leading wide receiver. Because everyone wants to talk, who's going to be wide out three? Is Paris Campbell up to it? Jimmy Wilson has looked very good as a sixth-round draft pick in camp. Who can emerge? Will Howie Roseman go out and get another wide receiver before the season starts? I think Shipley can carry that load. And you may see, because the offensive coordinator is going to be a little bit more diverse this year, going to try some different things, you may see two back sets where both Barkley and Shipley are in the backfield together, and then Shipley goes in motion into a slot spot. And, yeah, I think he can get separation, and I think he can make plays, and it's good to see that he and Jalen are already kind of on the same page at practice. And Pickett, because he caught the touchdown pass the other night. Yeah, I'm a Shipley guy. I thought it was a very good draft pick, a value draft pick. And if they just let production be their guide, I think he'll be the number two back behind Saquon Barkley this year ahead of Kenny Gainwell.
I'm completely agreeing with you because, again, he is a productive guy who plays hard. I mean, Shipley plays the game hard, and he just seems to have a knack and a feel as to how to play the game, even though he may not be the greatest athlete on the field.
And one of the pluses for me, and I may be just whistling Dixie here, is when you got a rookie guy, and if he's got talent, the other team doesn't know him.
That's right.
Everyone knows what Paris Campbell's going to bring to the table. So I think he can be covered. If you've got a rookie that the other teams have only a college scouting report on, how he's going to be played, how he's going to be used, what kind of routes they're going to run him on coming out of the backfield, I think that can be a plus, and Shipley could be a nice ancillary contributor for the Eagles this year.
When you're looking at this team as a fourth and fifth wideout that eventually could be used because somebody gets banged up, is there anybody standing out to you?
Yeah, if it's not going to be Shipley in these alternate formats, Johnny Wilson has opened people's eyes. Big kid, and you don't usually think of 6'4 guys. Some teams use 6'4 guys in the slot. They may, because both A.J. Brown and more so Devontae Smith have the flexibility of going in and playing in the slot, you can see him stepping up and being the guy who gets the most snaps at the wide receiver when they're in three wide receiver sets. And I think the offensive coordinator will enjoy making it difficult on defenses by using different guys at different positions outside and in the slot. They all have the flexibility and the talent to do it, so that could be a plus if Wilson continues to show that he's ready to play in the league.
Is there somebody on defense that we should take a closer look at that might be a contributor to help out the guys they already have?
Good question. Here is the key guy for me coming into the season, because I think we've got a good grab. We know the big guys from Georgia have to do the job in the middle, and hopefully we got a bounce-back year from Josh Sweat this season. But the fact that they're using Quinyon Mitchell in the slot tells me this secondary is going to be much improved this year. Last year they just got eaten up, certainly in the collapse of the last couple of games, but even earlier in the season, their coverage was just not good enough on the outside and in the slot. If Quinyon Mitchell is that good that they put him in there just to test him out, and he now looks like the lead guy to be their slot receiver, that means Vic Fangio knows he can do the job, and he'll be good at it. And if they've got a combination of Rodgers and Ringo outside across from Slay, that they've been good enough that they've been able to experiment with Quinyon in the slot, that tells you they really like what they're seeing out of their defensive secondary, and that could be a major area of improvement for this Eagles defense from last year that just wasn't good enough.
Are you surprised at all that Hassan Reddick has already requested a trade from the Jets?
Nope, not at all. what I'm surprised at is that Joe Douglas didn't understand the way things work in the National Football League. If you trade for a guy and they got him for a reasonable amount, not a overpay, not a steal, about going rate for what it was going to be. I thought all along when they had the, if he plays X amount of snaps, it'll move up to a higher pick. Yeah, that's not happening. You knew that was already happening. So the Eagles are going to get a third for him. If you're going to give up a third, you have to know that you can get close to the number that is the player is looking for from his agent. Yeah. And I'm sure there was at least one conversation where Hassan's, before the trade went down, this is the kind of numbers we're going to be asking for. And I got to believe the Jets said, oh, okay. Maybe they didn't say, we'll get the deal done. Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. But they said, all right, we can negotiate off that. And they came in, they made him an offer, and it wasn't anywhere near the ballpark that Hassan was looking for. And he decided, yeah, I said I'd show up for camp. I'm not showing up. You're disrespecting me with the offer you put out there. That's on the Jets. You can't make that deal unless you are X amount of percent confident you can get a deal done. And I'm sure the two parties are not even close right now. So Howie Roseman made a very smart move. I was not happy when they traded Hassan Reddick. I'm a big Hassan fan. And I'm not sure that Huff, the guy that they brought in from the Jets, is going to be able to do Hassan Reddick things on Eagle defense this year. But if you get a third-round pick for a guy that isn't going to even be showing up at camp, the Eagles made the right move. They weren't going to get close to what Hassan wanted. The Jets aren't close to what Hassan wanted. I don't know what Hassan's ask numbers are, but he's sticking to them, and shame on the Jets that they didn't know what they were going to be, and they could be looking at this potential problem.
Yeah, this is what I find bizarre. The Jets almost act as if, we're the Jets. You'll get your money. Yeah, don't worry about it. And then when it came time to negotiate, they went, well, we can't do that. I mean, how do you not know that ahead of time? You can't just give it lip service at the beginning. You got to take it seriously and do your homework.
Major faux pas on the part of Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, because you do watch Huff go out the door. And again, I've got opinions on both of these players. I think Hassan Reddick's a better player. I know he's older, but I absolutely believe he's a better player. Eagles paid Huff good money to bring him in. So you know Huff's going out your door. You're going to replace him. It's going to be Hassan Reddick. It can actually be an upgrade for us. But you got to know what the cost is. And you know what the cost is that you had to give the Eagles, but the cost to Hassan Reddick, apparently they're surprised by and or not willing to get up into that neighborhood to get a deal done. That's all on the Jets. They should not be facing this issue that they have right now. They should have traded for him in the first place if they knew his ask number was going to be what it is.
It's not a hypothetical that the NFL management wants 18 games. That's not a hypothetical. But in a hypothetical, if you're the Players Association, Jody, what do you think they should ask for in return for an 18th game? Because bodies get battered.
That's a great question because I don't know the answer. Anytime someone asks me a great question, I don't know the answer to, I immediately say it's great. less practice again? Because every time they go into a negotiation between the players and the owners are always willing to give something, but it's not money. They don't want to ever upgrade the percentage of the overall take that the players can then get a part of, and the players have settled for in the last several collective bargaining agreements, less practice, less padded practice, less time that you have to be at the facility. They always keep compromising the amount of time that the players spend with the teams, which we get the quality of product that we have. I think it's less than it used to be, but you can't tell that by attendance and or television ratings. All it does is go up and up and up and up and up, so the owners never blanch and say, yeah, we'll just let you guys do a little less work. I don't know what is the ancillary benefit they can offer to the players anymore. Maybe if the amount is big enough, they can give them a small percentage, a small chunk, and give them more money, but the owners have held the ground on that for the last several collective bargaining agreements they've done with the players when it's meant added revenues. I honestly don't know. I think you got me on that one.
I think I know where I would start. I would start with something simple as I want a second bye week. And then I would want rules around that second bye week as to how much you're able to be each other and meet. I mean, I would start with that second bye week to give at least somebody a chance to heal up. I mean, it's simple, but it's like, but I'm a simple guy, Jody.
It's a simple, but it's a smart answer, as a matter of fact. And it's something that the owners shouldn't blanch at because it just extends the season. And the longer the season, the better the season for, yes, the players get some downtime, but they're committing for that much longer a season. Another bye week and another game, so you're adding two more weeks to the overall season. If that's enough for the players, I think the owners would offer that tomorrow.
Yeah, all right. So now let's get to the Phillies, speaking of long seasons. And it's been a long season. They're still sitting there at 20 games over 500. They're still sitting there right now with the second-best record in the National League, a couple percentage points behind the Dodgers. What is your opinion of the state of the Phillies today?
They're okay, which is not great and not bad, and there is some panic going on, which I'm not sure is justified or warranted. But they're okay. They are where they are. They've got a comfortable lead in the division, which means they're going to win the division. They're going to be in the postseason. They need to finish ahead of either the Brewers or the Dodgers and make sure they don't have to play in that wild card round, which makes it a little bit trickier. But they're okay. What they need is Ranger Suarez has got to come back, and he's got to be Ranger Suarez. And I'm not talking about the Ranger Suarez who was a legit Cy Young candidate for the first 2 months of the season. He was overachieving, and people might have gotten a little caught up on it. But he's a solid starter in Major League Baseball. And he hasn't been for a while now, and when he comes back, you have to hope that he's better than he was before he got hurt, even if it's not Cy Young-level Ranger. If you're going with Wheeler, it's your ace, surely, and Nola's going to do what he's going to do, which is more good than bad. Christopher Sanchez, we'll read him over the next 4 months and find out, is he locked to get a start in a postseason series or not? But first things first, we got to find out what Ranger is. And we don't know exactly when Ranger's coming back. And his four starts end of August into September will tell us a lot as to whether the Phillies have a World Series running.
Right, exactly. I'd also like to point out that they're in the position they are today because all the games in April and May counted. And the people said sometimes it gets forgotten in the moment. Those games did count. That's why they are where they are. Offensively, what do you think of them at this point?
The outfield isn't good enough, and that's not good. Marsh has been pretty brutal over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Now he's striking out an extended rate that we've never seen him do before. They're going to need Hayes to come back. And Hayes is one of the most intriguing players on this team. I really love the fact that the guy swings the bat hard every time he gets in there. And if he's going to hit it, he's going to hit it hard. But he also isn't the best judge of talent as to what's in the strike zone and what's not. He's had some god-awful, ugly-looking swings. But when he makes contact and he swings as hard as he does, he's got a chance to get big hits. And right now they don't have him, but they said the hamstring is going to be marginal, kind of like Marsh when he got hurt. Schwarber is only going to be 10 days and then boom, right back in. They need him back in because if Marsh is struggling the way he is, they need Hayes back. I'm not sure that Weston Wilson and or the guy that they just called up the other day from Allentown who's having a really nice Triple-A season, I'm not excited about having them in a postseason lineup. So they need Hayes back, and Hayes has got to be able to be his best Hayes if this team's going to have an average outfield, and they're going to have to go above and beyond average when they get to the postseason.
Obviously, you grew up in a time where a guy got a ball and he'd go 7-8 innings, especially if he's the ace of the staff. We've talked about this part before. But as I mentioned in the beginning, the Red Sox got caught up in something where they had a bullpen day. It was Saturday. And then James Paxton, their starter, went out and got hurt on the third batter of the game on Sunday. Well, it's the day after a bullpen game, so there's nobody left in the bullpen.
Yeah.
What has always been your thought on when you see bullpen days in modern baseball, considering what you grew up with?
Yeah, I've never liked it, but I know it's what baseball is in 2022, 23, 24. It's certainly been this way for a good couple of years now. And if you're going to do it, and you know you're going to do it before the season starts, you better start with an 11 to 12 man deep pitching staff.
Yep.
And I think the Phillies were in pretty good position to start this season, and I'm still good with where they are now. I'm not panicking about the bullpen. I know Hoffman gave up the walk-off home run in Arizona, one pitch, see you later, bye, they lose. I know Matt Strom got pummeled on one game in the road trip, and these are two all-star relievers the Phillies had. I still got faith in their bullpen. The new acquisition that they got from California hasn't given up an earned run yet. His ERA is 0.00. That's always a good thing. It's given up a couple long flies, but hey, you keep them in the park, you keep them in the park. I think the Phillies bullpen will be solid come postseason time. And once you get to postseason, you do try and lean on your starter to go a little bit longer than you do during the regular season, and you get a couple extra days off. So I don't think bullpen will be an issue for the Phillies to the rest of August into September and October. I think they're good in the pen.
My friend, it is always a pleasure. Outstanding as always. Appreciate any time I get a chance to talk with you.
Have a good Penn State season. If you get me back up during the Penn season, I'll talk whatever Penn State you want. I think it should be a fun, expanded Big Ten season. You have a great season.
I will. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. Thanks, Jody.
My pleasure.
The great Jody Mack, Jody McDonald. Always great to talk with him about everything with the Phillies, with the Eagles, whomever. By the way, I was just glad Joel Embiid finally won something. That's great. He's got a gold medal. He's a gold medalist. He played well. I thought he did a good job. The heck? All right. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. I went with Ford. Incredible buying experience. Set up the financing exactly the way I needed it. And they have an entire lot filled with pre-owned inventory. They go over each one of them with a fine-tooth comb. And by the way, Hyundai is really selling right now. And a terrific service department, routine, difficult. They back it all up at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.